So we see in the first reading this moment of decision on the part of the people. It reveals to us how powerful the basic necessities of life can be in the lives of human beings. We talk about slavery in our nation, in our country, at different time history. We read about it, but none of us experienced its brutality, its injustice firsthand. And yet we see that a people who had experienced slavery, injustice, cruelty, were willing to return to the nation that had enslaved them because they were thirsty. It really reveals these essential desires that exist within us, and how willing at times we are ready to relinquish ourselves in order for those desires to be satisfied, to be satiated. As we read on, God recognizes the need for the people to drink, and He provides for them. But He provides for them in a kind of a strange way, don't you think? And if we look carefully at the text, God does something strange. Now, He tells Moses, go over and strike the rock, but He also says to Moses, I will be there on top of the rock. God is making the connection between Himself and the rock. I will go and I will be on top of the rock, strike the rock with the staff, and water will pour forth. God is giving us the image of one day where His Son will be on the cross. And it will not be a staff, but a spear that pierces the side of Jesus, who is the rock. And from His side, water will pour forth for the salvation of the world. Basically, God is saying to Moses, strike me, and I will provide for their thirst. God doesn't do anything superfluously. He doesn't do anything just by chance. It is very specific what He asks Moses to do, to reveal what will be fulfilled in Jesus. When we turn to Jesus in the gospel text, we see this conversation again, the need for water, the thirst, the longing, which draws this woman from her home with her jar in order to go to the cistern in order to draw water. Jesus has a thirst as well. Jesus' thirst is for her faith. And so they enter into this conversation, in which Jesus reveals to her a deeper fulfillment of the longing that she longs for. Yes, she is thirsty in body, but she is more thirsty in soul. And she is trying to fulfill and to fill for herself this longing, this emptiness. And for her, it has meant 5 different husbands, and now a 6th. And yet, she has never been satisfied. I struggle with the fact that this gospel text is only used at this one Sunday, and it is so long. There are so many things that could be pulled out of this text. It's you could do a whole Bible study for months on this text and this text alone. And yet I'm supposed to sum it up in 12 minutes or 14 minutes. So saith the Pope. There's so many things here, my brothers and sisters. Jesus speaking to a woman. Everybody sitting in a church like, okay, what's the big deal? It was a huge deal for Jesus' time. It would not take place Jesus speaking to a woman by himself. This did not happen, let alone a Jewish woman, let alone a Samaritan woman. To have this kind of conversation was absolutely forbidden, was absolutely against every cultural norm of Jesus' time. Jesus is being a radical. Scriptural scholars will tell us, you do not go out to get water at noon. You get it early in the morning when it is cooler. You don't go out in the middle of the day in order to get water, unless you are avoiding those who would be there at the well. And it gives the understanding, the background, that this woman and her situation is well known to the town. And if she was to go when everyone else was there, she would probably be ridiculed by those that were there at the well. So her going out when no one else would be there, you can imagine her looking up and seeing Jesus there when she gets to the well and going, oh, here we go. There's so many things here. But we simply focus on our need, our longing, and our God's desire to meet us there. Recognize from the conversation, my brothers and sisters, recognize from the conversation truth being spoken. The woman needed to hear the truth. And she also needed to know that she was loved. When the other disciples arrive and she leaves, something that the gospel writer notes that we just simply overlook, says she left her jar at the well. Her thirst had been satiated. And it wasn't because Jesus drew forth for her water to drink. It was because he poured into her the gift of love. My brothers and sisters, God meets us in our need. Paul says it in the second reading so beautifully. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Paul could have used other language. The Holy Spirit has been ignited within us, lit on fire within us. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell, but he uses specifically the word poured, like water. Have you ever wondered why? When the Acts of the Apostles happen in the moment of Pentecost, the apostles hear like rushing water within their ears. It is the fulfillment of his promise that those who believe to him, he will pour forth his Spirit within them as a font of living water, so that we might have life, my brothers and sisters, and have it in abundance. We who are a people that believe in Jesus Christ should never thirst within our hearts. For the gift of the Spirit has been given to us. We need to know that the font is there. We need to know where to go when we are thirsty, to draw deeply from his abundance. And so we come to the present moment, a time such as this in our nation. Have you ever asked the question, when Jesus receives the anointing and he is there in the synagogue and unrolls the scroll and he reads from the prophet Isaiah, the Lord has anointed me to set captives free. It's a proclamation of a jubilee year. He also says to announce the good news to the poor. Why is it essential that God gives to his church the commission to announce the good news, to announce the gospel to the poor? Why is it essential that it be the poor? My brothers and sisters, it's because the poor cannot hide behind the illusions of life. When we have possession, when we have wealth, when we have prestige, when we have friends, when we have a gathering of people around us, we can hide in that illusion. We can use these things in order to try and satiate the thirst that we possess within us. And for a while, we medicate in our richness. But for the poor, their poverty exposes their thirst. It exposes their need. And that is why it is essential that the good news, the proclamation, be first announced to them. Why? Because they are the most vulnerable. They are the most vulnerable to recognize their need. And it's so essential that the good news be proclaimed to them. I say that because, my brothers and sisters, in this time in our nation, this time in the world, things are being stripped away from us that will reveal our poverty in a way that we have never experienced before. I jokingly said at the beginning of Lent, you know, people ask me all the time, Father, what are you giving up for Lent? And I said, oh no, I haven't chosen anything to give up for Lent in 13 years since I've been ordained a priest. I said, God always chooses, and he always chooses very well, and I must receive what he chooses each Lent. Well, I kind of have a sense of what that is going to be this Lent, don't you? The absence of so much that was normal. And the stripping away, my brothers and sisters, we will experience our poverty. And it is so essential that we know the good news, that we know Jesus Christ, that we have this first and foremost in our mind, because he will be the source that will meet us in our poverty and in our need. Happy Lent. It is forced upon us all. But God can even bring good from this, can he not? For us to be stripped of any illusions that we turn to in life in order to be fed, in order to be satisfied, so that we might actually come to him, the source of all of our need. Have courage and confidence to go to him, my brothers and sisters. He desires to meet us there. Our poverty, our need is not greater than his generosity, nor love, nor mercy. He will take everything that you dish out and more. And he will reciprocate it with love, compassion, patience, kindness, generosity. He will meet you in your need in the gift of his Spirit. I went to confession on Saturday, so I get to tell you my confession now. Very strange, huh? I had gone to confession on Friday because it was a funeral of a priest. I said, hey, the priests are here. I got an opportunity to go to confession. This is great. And then turned around and had to go back on Saturday because I was beginning to see this great anger that was welling up within me. Great fear that was welling up within me as we got closer and closer to the weekend and we saw more and more instructions coming out and churches closing and all of these things. There are a lot of fears that are out there, my brothers and sisters. And I guess in just saying to you that I had to go to confession in order to confront them and to give them to the Lord, just encouraging you not to be afraid of them as well. But know the source. Know who it is that you need to turn to in this moment of fear, in this moment of doubt, in this moment of insecurity. Know who it is who has always been there for you and will continue to be there for you in the midst of difficulty. Do not be afraid to even give to him your anger and your fear, your doubts, your lack of understanding, not be afraid to be vulnerable with Him who loves you. Amen.